My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
How many of you are great to be in the house of the Lord? To feel good about what you're feeling in the place. Now I want to share with you what the Spirit of the Lord has been speaking to me. And let's just deal with it in the Holy Ghost tonight. And I want to take you to Job 35, verse 9. Elihu hits on a very pertinent reality of people who serve the Lord. Not just people who don't serve the Lord. He's talking about people who do serve the Lord. This is a reality that happens from time to time in our walk with God. And he said, by reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry, and they cry out by the reason of the arm of the mighty. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we've been experiencing some great liberty in our church services, and I'm just so thankful for what the Holy Ghost is doing in the house. Thankful for what the Holy Ghost is doing in the house. That just felt good. Why don't y'all clap your hands again? I noticed Brother Sloan ran this morning, but he didn't run very fast. He's getting older. And then I told him, I said, I would have run with you, but I wouldn't have made it to the end of the service. But I thank God for that kind of liberty. The point is, I thank God for that kind of liberty. This is a worshiping church. But here's what the Lord showed me. The oppression is not here in our church services, but it's following us home. And our oppression is in the home. And it's in our personal lives where people are feeling crushed. I'm talking about paralyzed, where the very breath is being stolen from them. Now, if it's not your experience, you don't have to admit that it's your experience if it's not. Because I already know that there's enough people that are interceding, wanting the church to advance and succeed, that are experiencing that. And if you are, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, Brother Kinsey, I have experienced that oppression in my home and in my personal life. I come to church and I get victory and then I go home. And then it just attacks me. Go ahead and lift your hand. And then I don't even know what to do with it. It's there. It's a reality. I'm not rebuking you over that. It's a reality of serving the Lord. And so we've got a remedy in verse 10, but we got to talk about it. But before we talk about it, it's all right to cry about it, because he said they're crying out because of this oppression. And it's the arm of the mighty. I mean, it's not just a little gutter demon. Hey, we're not faced with them little old, easy to cast out ones. We're faced with the arm of the mighty. The most mighty forces of the enemy are trying to oppress God's people. That's not just this church's personal experience. That's everywhere I'm going. And it seems like we're having great breakthrough in the church services, but then the enemy's jumping on people when they're leaving church and going home, going to work, going doing different things. But we're going to war against that tonight. I want a victory in this upcoming revival, in the summer revival, that we can take home with us. I don't know about you, but I want victory in the home. I want victory on the job. I want victory for your personal life. I want victory for your finances. I want victory for your children. I want that oppression gone. Amen. We're going to war against it tonight in the Holy Ghost. So I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but we're going to do some war. So you might as well, I need to read verse 10, and then I'll let you put your Bible, because if I make you put them down and then pick them back up, you will get an attitude. But none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? Now notice that and I hadn't noticed that before. It's because they won't say it that they don't get it. And it's activated by you speaking it. First of all, admitting that you're oppressed by the arm of the mighty. But then calling on God, your maker. Because immediately the devil trapped you in making you feel guilty because you feel as if it's your fault. You did something wrong. You should have done that. But it's totally wrapped up in my ability to speech you to honest speech, saying, God, you're the maker, and I need you in my life right now, and I need you to give me an ever-loving song in the night right now. I need one now. I need one now, because everything the devil does, he does to silence you. Everything God does, he does to bring you to speech. Everything. Every trick of the enemy is to silence your voice. And everything the preacher and Jesus does is to get you to speak to your mountain. Say, be thou removed. If I could get somebody to speech it. I feel victory here tonight, but it's in the house. I want you to go home with it. I want you to come back Friday night with it. Now remember, on Sunday morning, we start here at 10 a.m., but not with Sunday school, regular church. So if you wait till 11 to show up, you're going to just get into the altar call. We'll pray you through too. You talk about a shaking going on, and a holy Pentecostal massage will tackle you and give you one. No, I'm teasing you about that. But the truth is, we are having church 10 a.m., no Sunday school at all, other than we start at 10. And we're going to have a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably have to prop Brother Stone King up a little bit. He's getting old, but we love him, don't we? Yeah. Amen. I want to talk to you about troubled by what you have not said. Amen. Troubled by what you have not said. You ain't done it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't said it. But you need to say it. Now you can put your Bibles down. I can tell you're tired of holding them. And I want you to connect with somebody right now. And I want you to war with me that we'll get this oppression. And I'm going to give you an assignment that we're going to do this week. Because we're going to start praying in the homes and anointing doors and windows. And maybe even have people to come over and pray over at your house. Whatever you need to do, we're going to pray and intercede in the home. Right now, we're going to pray against this trouble and against this oppression. We will not allow it. We will not allow it to affect our people and defeat us in our home and in our personal life. We are going to say, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? I speak it. I speak it in this house. I declare it in this place. There's victory for you. I want that anxiety to lift off for you, that paralysis to lift off for you, that tremendous pressure on your chest to lift off for you. I want it to be lifted off of your shoulders. I speak against the chains in the name of Jesus. Harabo Shataba, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Elihu was a wise man, and he was puzzled at seeing Job so afflicted. As a matter of fact, you can get puzzled at seeing people afflicted because you don't know why. He tried to find the cause of it, and of course, the other three friends of Job, they failed miserably. And he finally hit upon one of the most likely reasons, although that didn't happen to be the case in Job's situation. But he said within himself, surely when men are sorely tried and troubled, it is because they do not say, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? And how many of you know that night terrors can be real and fear can torment you? The Bible says there's the pestilence that walketh in darkness and there's the terror by night. There is the dread of robbers and disease, and it's very hard to distinguish between objects in the dark because your eyes play tricks on you. But I have discovered that the true author of the song in the night is not me trying to whistle in the dark and make myself feel good. But the true author of the song in the night is God, my maker. Because any man can sing in the day. Anybody can worship when their cup is full and they draw inspiration from the wealth that just seems to roll in abundance around them. Anybody can sing the praise of God who gives increase and sends us home with a loaded wagon and baskets full of bread. Any one of us can do that. It's easy enough for an Aeolian harp to whisper music when the wind blows, but it takes skill to make it play when there's no wind blowing. It's easy to sing when you can read the notes by daylight, but only a skillful singer can sing when there's no light to sing by and to read by. Because in the night, you gotta sing from your heart. You gotta sing from that inner man. When there's no book, when there are no words, then there's that inward book of gratitude, of thanksgiving and praise. And from the inner man and from a living spirit, no man can make a song in the night by himself or even come near to match that. You might attempt it, but you'll soon find out it can't be done. Only God can author a song in the night. It's not natural to sing when you're in trouble. It's not natural to sing when you're oppressed. It's not natural to sing when you're walking through the darkness, but Psalm 103 is a song that is sung in the light and in the daylight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. It's easy to sing like that whenever everything's going good. He forgiveth all mine iniquities. He healeth all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction, and he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. But it's a little more difficult to sing when you're like Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 17. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon the high places. And I'm going to send this song to the chief singer on the stringed instruments. I say you ought to start strumming right now in the Holy Ghost. I've got a song in the night. Anybody can sing like Moses did on the banks of the Red Sea after the victory was won. The horse and the rider hath he thrown past tense into the sea. But what about singing before Pharaoh's host had been drowned? What about picking up your tambourine when you're still, you know, you're still held in by mountains and the Red Sea's before you? But God was with them. The pillar of fire was holding off the enemy. That ought to give them some indication that God's got something up his sleeve. And it ought to give you some indication that God's still moving in your life. You're still feeling the glory of the Lord. It ought to give you some indication that God's got something up his sleeve. I said, God's got something already ready to unleash upon you. I just wish somebody would get their song now before the oppression is lifted, before the victory is won. But God will give you this song if you'll ask him. It only comes to those who ask for him. So what does this song mean? God is my only song. There's no other song. You can't sing about his blessing because you don't have it. You can't sing about the fig tree blossoming because it's not. You can't sing about this and that and the other because it's not happening. But God is still God. I said, Jesus is still Lord. And he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's the one who inspires it. He's the one that provokes it. He's the one that writes the song. And then he calls on you to sing it. Many songs were written while men were in slavery. David wrote most of his psalms while he was running from Saul. Our salvation would be nothing if it wasn't for a trial. And we walking through the trial, we found hope in Jesus Christ. All our giving to Jesus would become drudgery if we never really understood what it is to walk in darkness. Many who are oppressed never really inquire of the Lord, where is God my maker? They just inquire about themselves. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I need to get right. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do the other. You don't need to do anything but find your song. Quit asking for deliverance and start asking for the song to bring glory to God and start singing it cheerfully. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I promise you that we're going to sing in the ways of the Lord. Every new triumph, there is a new song, a song of salvation. Psalms 96 and 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. I believe if you'll stay in the way of the Lord, active doing his work, he will bring forth a song in your spirit. We're going to sing about the Lord, to the Lord, and we're going to sing it to others so that they'll know God has been my protector. God has been my redeemer. God has been my help. God has been my strength. God has been my righteousness. God has been my justification. God has been the power by which I have operated. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is the shade on my right hand. He is my spear. He is my sword. He is everything to me. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right. And how many of you know the word of God is right tonight? I said it's right. It's right on time and it's right on target. All of his works are done in truth. Well, then if you know the word is right, then you've got a song already. How many of you, your perspective, I know you're crying out. I know you feel whatever you're feeling, but I feel the song being lifted in this house. I feel a song released in this place. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. His own arm has brought the victory. Therefore, I think you ought to sing a new song. Now, this is what the Lord's telling me to tell you. He's going to fight your battle. You ready? This is your word. If you'll sing the song, he'll fight the battle. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to get you to sing here tonight. I'm trying to get some joy to rise up in your spirit. I believe that God is ready to do something. Remember, a song doesn't bring righteousness or holiness. It doesn't even give you the victory. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Do you realize, church, the value of one word from God? It's like a piece of gold. A Christian can hammer that promise out for weeks. If you could get one word from the Lord, you could hammer out that promise into a gold leaf and put it into your spirit and let it cause joy. I believe that God, oh, hallelujah, you ought to start singing right now. Sing about the day that's over. I know it's gone and I can't bring it back, and the daylight is no longer here and I'm in the darkness, but God sure was good back then. And I remember how good he was. I don't feel it now, but my God has been good to me. Somebody ought to sing about that. I think you ought to sing about the darkness you're going through right now. I might be in darkness, but I'm still in church. I might be walking through the craziest mess I've ever walked through in my life, but I'm still in the house of God. Woo! God's still good. Woo! I wish somebody would preach with me. God's still good. I said God's still good, even in the darkness. But I think you ought to sing about the morning, because it's just a little while and I see the light coming and the daylight's just around the corner. Hallelujah. So sing about the morning that's going to come. You can remember the day. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You say, well, what do I sing about? Well, let's sing about the fountain of mercy. Is God merciful? I think you ought to sing about the covenant ordained unto eternal life. You're going to get to live forever one day. I think you ought to sing about Jesus and that nail-scarred hand purchased your salvation. So what else do I sing about? Sing about the blood that signed that covenant, sealed and ratified it in all things. Sing about his everlasting love. Sing about the mountains that were begotten by him and created by him. God chose you. I'm going to say it again. God chose you. I know you think you love Jesus, but he loved you first. I know you think you're all special and you're all that and a bag of tater chips too, but I'll tell you right now, you was nothing when God found you. I said you were nothing when God found you, but he chose you. Oh no, I chose to be here tonight. No, you didn't. God chose you to be here tonight. He loved you. He loved you first. He's loved you well, and he loves you eternally. There's no song that comes out of the everlasting love. There's no song that can come out of measureless mercy unless you have tasted it, unless you have experienced it, unless you have drank from the fountain, unless you realize just how good it is. There's always something to sing about. There's always something to worship about. Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. How many of you will admit he has not dealt with you according to your sins? I'm going to say it again. He has not dealt with you and rewarded you according to your sins, nor according to your iniquities. Aren't you glad that God hasn't judged you for everything you've done wrong? Some of you have forgotten what you used to be. Some of you have forgotten how rotten. You're still rotten, but you've forgotten how rotten you were. But yet God redeemed you. He's brought you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Sing about that if you ain't got nothing else to sing about. Sing about the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The devil's not in control. Your oppressor's not in control. The arm of the mighty's not in control. For God, I said for God, you can trust in men and you can trust in chariots if you want to. But the first Pentecostal church is going to trust in the name of the Lord. There's power in. I wish somebody would get your song on. I'm sorry I got all this crud. I can't preach like I want to preach, but I'm just going to go ahead and give him my best shot. But I'll tell you right now, I've served a God that's never failed us, not one single time. God's reward is with him. He's going to give every man according to his work. So we sing because we know that if there is a night, the morning cometh. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I think you ought to sing along with Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You better watch out. The spirit of Hal Kennedy lover to come on me right now. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The song we sing in the night, hallelujah, will be a lasting song. It'll be true love to Jesus Christ. It'll prove that we love the Lord. It'll encourage everybody around us when you start singing. Everybody will get encouraged. Even when I sing, they'll get encouraged. And they'll say, if you can do it, so can I. If you can do it, so can I. It's one of the best testimonies in the world in favor of religion. And I believe that somebody ought to sing that song in this place. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. See, that means that you're an influence and your testimony has influence. What you're going through does not cancel out your testimony. As a matter of fact, if you find your song... What you're going through is not your, I said it's not going to cancel out your testimony. If I can speak you to just ask God, where are you, Lord? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Hallelujah. I want to know where he's at in the house. If you can find him, then you can release that song. It was so in Saul's day, an evil spirit rested on him, but David played his harp and the evil spirit went from him. I think little Eva Heron wrote this poem. She put it on my desk. She didn't want anybody to know she wrote it, but I probably messed that up right now. But it's very powerful. And her poem is entitled Redeemed. Redeemed. And I want to read it to you. So, since I'm not able to activate your song like I want to, I believe this will light your fire. Time and time again, I am reminded of what he's done for me. His goodness and mercy, it follows me until the very end. He shelters me, he cares for me, no matter what I've done. His love is eternal. He chases me no matter where I run. He delivered me from the grip of fear. Now I'm a new man. I'll never be the same again. I don't see how I can. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. My Savior has set me free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if a teenage girl can write that in the darkness, then every one of you can find your song in the night. For God, my maker. You can stand. There have been times in my life when the enemy or something would wake me up. And it would literally be as if something was choking me. And I would pray against it. And I would speak in the name of Jesus. And then when I stood up against that spirit and spoke against it, and that spirit would just let off of my neck for just a little while, the sweet presence of Jesus would come in to that room and let me know that everything is going to be all right. What some of you need to do is to get some of your friends together and bring them over to your house and have them anoint every door and every window in your home. And I want you to have a Holy Ghost hoedown prayer meeting in your house between now and Friday night. If they have to pray long distance, God will hear it. They don't have to be on proximity. You might want to do your own anointing. I don't know. However you want to do it, I just do something. It's better than just getting the fire beat out of you all the time. Just get that song going in your life. Now, I believe in anointing all of that. That's something I've done for years, and I think you ought to be able to do it as well. And you say, well, what kind of oil do I need? You got cooking oil? You got any rubbing oil or whatever it is? Get whatever oil you got. It doesn't make any difference. You're not supposed to use the anointing oil. It's not to be for personal use, but God did say, go get the oil. He's not talking about the tabernacle oil. He's talking about any oil you can find. We've got handkerchiefs up here. That we did that another Sunday night. I think we've got at least two left. So many people have wanted them. It's been awesome what God's been doing. But I want you to get victory in your home. Ministry's not easy anymore, church. Pastoring is harder than it's ever been. One of the last conversations I had with Brother Tenney before he died and went on to see Jesus, he said, I sure am glad you're pastoring and not me. He said, Brian, it's harder than I've ever seen it. I'll be praying for you. And then he leaves me with it, praise God, and goes sees Jesus. Okay, well, that's a good thing to do. Get caught up in your little chariot and leave me down here fighting the battle. That's all right. But we'll fight on, won't we? I said, we'll fight on, won't we? We'll fight in our homes. We'll fight in the church house. We'll fight in our singing. We'll fight in the preaching. We'll fight on the job. We'll fight as we travel down the road. We're going to keep on fighting. We're going to fight for our children. We're going to fight for our right to become who Jesus said we can be. We're going to fight. But we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Not one of frustration, not one of anxiety, not one of pressure and paralyzing fear, but one of faith and one of power. That's how we're going to fight. We're going to fight with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. Sister Etta, it's so good to see you in church tonight. She came, I had to pray for her. She had to go to the emergency room or the special care, whatever. But she's here tonight, and the Lord can touch her, completely heal her in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that lifted your hand, I want you to get out in the aisle. Some of you can come up here to the front, but I want you to step out from where you're standing, and I want you to get out in the aisle, and I want you, we're going to pray for you specifically tonight because I want that oppression moving off of you. I want that pressure on your chest to lift off of you. See, in this world today, and it's amazing that the world's trying to stop this bullying that's going on and bringing attention to it the way they are. All they're doing is increasing it. They're not doing anything, they're not going to do away with it. They're just going to release it and increase it because they have no authority over it. You can't take authority over something you don't have authority to take, because they've forsaken God, and therefore they've forsaken any absolute truth. And if you don't have an absolute truth in your life, you have no authority. There's no authority. If this book is our absolute truth, then we have authority to stand on it. If it's not, then we don't. And that's the reason why all these religions are losing people, because they have no moral authority, because they've forsaken the Word of God. They said it's not inspired anymore. Some want this, some want that. And all of these paraphrases that are going around, that they're changing the Word of God and taking all the truth out of it, just reshaping it in their own image. It's not true. It's just false doctrine. It's falseness. And that falseness is causing people trouble. And that's why they're oppressed. They're crying out, but they're not asking God because they don't believe in Him anymore. They don't feel like He's an absolute authority. In other words, whatever you think is God is God. Well, that's not true. Some people think the bullfrog is God. It doesn't make Him God. Some people worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. They worship all of this horoscope mess. And they think that's going to lead them and guide them. Well, it's not. And if it does, it'll lead them to destruction. But God's going to minister to you right now. You hear me? God's going to minister to you. Now quit blaming yourself for this oppression, okay? That's what we're going to stop doing right now. You're going to ask, where is God my maker? I preached all of this just to get you to say that one thing. And I want you to say it. And I want you to cry out right now. And I want you to lift your hands and say, God, I need you in my life. And where are you? I need you in my heart. Where in the world are you? I need you. Where are you, Lord? It's all right to ask, where you at? It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not bad because you don't know where He's at and you're trying to ask Him. Go ahead, ask Him where He's at. Where is God my maker? Don't be embarrassed to ask that if you don't know where He's at. Job didn't know where he was. He looked everywhere. I looked before me and behind me and on either side of me, and I didn't know where he was. Go ahead. Ask Him right now. By the authority of the Word of God and in the name of Jesus, Lord, activate and ignite the song in the night. I want that spirit of bullying to move out of your life right now. I want you to take authority over that spirit. I want that bullying to stop. The devil's pushing some of you around, and he's using different voices and different people, even people in your family and on the job, to push you around. And you can't push back in the flesh, we know that. But you can in the Spirit. You can in the Holy Ghost. You can by the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. May the fire on my altar.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.